Welcome to The Feeding Frenzy. We're your go-to podcast for all things breastfeeding and beyond. Whether you're nursing, pumping, bottle feeding, or just trying to survive nap time, you are in the right place. We dish up expert advice, real-life stories, and a healthy dose of humor to support you through the wild, wonderful world of feeding and parenting. So grab your favorite snack or finally reheat that coffee and let's dive in. And we're back. Today's a very interesting and scary topic. And we've seen a lot of information on infant botulism caused by the infant formula, the By Heart whole nutrition formula. There was a recall because of a nationwide issue with infant botulism. And one of our clients is experiencing or experienced infant botulism. It was not due to formula feeding, but same thing. I'm sure that the parents are going through that have this. So I thought we'd talk to Laura Raji today. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
So my name is Laura. I'm a mom of five. I have an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a nearly 7-month-old. So we started all over again.
Oh my goodness.
So we're back in the fun thick of it. I'm a full-time medication technician. I work in a nursing home and full-time mom. My husband's a teacher and very, very supportive of all of my journeys throughout my breastfeeding journeys with the kids. So
yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit of what happened. What were the first things you noticed?
So this was back in September, the very end of September. And Gabby she was about 4 months old and she is a very happy baby. Very happy. I mean, barely cried when she was hungry, like just always smiley, always happy. And a Monday morning, she was with my in-laws. That's where she is during the week. And she was just really fussy, really fussy. And which is, again, not her.
Right.
So I was kind of, my husband and I were like, maybe it's teething. Maybe her belly hurts. Because she has always kind of had some issues with bowel movement since she was born.
She'd could go be anything.
Could be anything, right? We have no idea. But, you know, as parents, and especially parents of five, we're like, we got this. It'll be fine. So Tuesday, we were with, like I said, our 18-year-old at a college tour. And she slept most of the day. Didn't nurse well, but she was in the front carrier. So, again, we're making excuses. We're like, it's fine. She was snuggly. She was sleeping all day. It's not a problem. Wednesday, she's with my kids because they were off school. They called me 3 or 4 times. Mom, she is screaming. Oh. She won't calm down. She won't take her bottle. And she eats. This girl likes to eat. Even though she doesn't gain weight very fast, she likes to eat.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all four of them are home. So I'm like, have each one of you guys try. If not, just call Nanny. She'll be home. They finally got one bottle in 8 hours that I was gone.
Wow.
They got 1 3-ounce bottle in her.
Wow.
And then I get home and all she wants to do is nurse, but she's not nursing well.
She just wants to be with you.
Right.
She just wants to
be with me. Right. Exactly. Okay. Maybe she's getting a cold. My in-laws had a cold last week. Thursday, she's back with my in-laws and I pick her up and my father-in-law says, we got 2 ounces in her today. She just is not eating. And I could tell she was losing weight because her diapers were getting big. Oh. We had just moved her up to size 2. And they were starting to be big. And I was like, what is, like, this is not right. So I called the pediatrician's office and I said, I'd like to get her checked out. And I'm not one mom that's like, goes to the pediatrician all the time. I'm like, if you're not bleeding, you're fine.
Right.
It's not, the bone's not sticking out, you're fine. Like, you know. So if I'm calling the pediatrician and I've been seeing this pediatrician, he's a family doctor since I was 7 years old.
Right.
So he knows me well enough to say, all right, fit her in.
Yes, because if you're saying something's wrong, he's probably like, get her in yesterday.
Correct. Exactly. So I take her on Friday. And now we're at the point where when she's trying to nurse, it's like she forgot how to nurse.
Oh,
she can't have it. She couldn't have a suction. She was just like sliding off. She would nurse for a minute or two and then she would slide off. and be fussy and like, why can't I do this?
Yeah.
So take her to the doctors. Now, she had just been at her 4-month appointment like 10 days before. And she had lost half a pound.
Wow.
From 10 days before.
That's a lot.
And that's a lot. She wasn't even 13 pounds. She was like 12.9. And now she was 12.4.
Wow.
So that's a lot for a baby.
Yeah.
A lot. I wish I would lose that in 10 days. Not happening. So, but all of her symptoms were just like little things here and there. Nothing added up.
Right.
So my doctor was like, something is clearly going on. We all know this. But nothing is adding up to say she has this, she has that. Maybe it's a virus. Let's keep an eye on her. But I want her back on Tuesday for a weight check and a symptom check. I said, okay. And he said, in the meantime, if anything happens, you take her right in. Don't hesitate. Don't call the office. Just go. And I said, okay, you know me.
To the ER.
Yes, to the ER. Take her right into like to CHOP. And he said, go right to CHOP.
Right. Okay.
Don't go to the local hospital. Go right to CHOP. Or St. Chris or, you know, one of the children's hospitals. Right. Go right to pediatrics.
And we are lucky to have two fabulous children's hospitals right in our area.
Right in Philadelphia and right in King of Prussia now and another one in Philadelphia. It's great. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
So the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, I had work, which was really hard for me because I know I have a sick baby at home who just wants her mom.
Yeah.
But I have work. My husband was home. And he's calling me and he's like, she's just not eating. He was trying to feed her with a medicine dropper just to try to get anything in her. And
there she is. I'm lucky enough to be able to see Miss Gabby.
Hi.
So he's trying to feed her with a medicine dropper and it's just pouring out of her. Again, it's like she forgot how to use a bottle, forgot how to nurse. Forgot all the things she'd learned in the last 4 months.
Yeah.
And again, I get home and she will not let anybody touch her. My husband, like nobody. Mm-hmm. She is like, mom only. I have to go to work again on Sunday. They were at a football game. My 13-year-old plays football. They were at his football game. And one of the moms is a nurse there and she's calling me and she's like, what's going on with Gabby? She's so mellow. She's not smiley. She looks so sick. And I was like, I know, I don't know what's going on, but I get home from work. And again, only wants me. We're celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday. And she looks pale.
Yeah.
Her eyes are sunken in. Aww. Again, you can tell she's losing even more weight.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we get home and we're like, I'm going to take her tomorrow. I'm off on Monday. I'm going to just take her up to CHOP and get her evaluated. You know, as a mom with an infant, especially, you don't want your baby like poked and prodded for no reason.
Right.
But it was time.
Yeah.
It was time. Let's burp, baby.
Yeah. And things are getting worse, not better.
Right. Things are definitely getting worse, not better.
Yeah. With a virus, she should have bounced back by now.
Exactly. Yes. So we are, I said, I'll take her in on Monday. 2:30 in the morning, she wakes up. And at this point now, starting like Sunday, her cry was so quiet. You could barely hear it. It was like a whisper. It was like she was really hoarse. And I said, the only way I can describe it is it was sad and pathetic.
Aww.
It was a sad and pathetic cry. And
it's
so
breaking my heart because I'm looking at her cute little face.
I know.
She was so sick.
It was so hard. That week was the worst week of my life. And so 2:30 in the morning, she wakes up and we barely heard her. And even though she's in our room, in the bassinet, we still could barely hear her. But we get up and she's like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, great, maybe we're over this. Maybe it was a virus and we've moved past it. And I start nursing her. And my husband, he got her. He was standing next to me on the bed. She starts nursing and she starts choking.
Oh.
Like, and turned gray.
Oh.
Choking. And he grabs her and starts like patting her on the back. I'm jumping out of bed because now we're both looking at each other like, all right, we're not waiting until this morning.
No.
I'm going now.
Yeah.
And so he's like, calm down. She's breathing. Take a moment. get dressed, brush your teeth, pack whatever you want, because I didn't know how long, what to expect. So right. I'm like, I need my pump, I need some snacks, I need water, I need my electrolytes. Like, I needed to make sure I had things so that I don't know. I've actually never been in the hospital with any of my kids.
Right.
I've taken them to the ER a few times for minor things that I knew we'd be in and out, but I've never gone not knowing what was going on with my kids.
Right. It's scary.
So this was really, really scary. And I get in the car and I drive up to King of Prussia. We were there in 18 minutes. It was fabulous. And from the moment I pulled into the parking lot, I can't say anything bad about CHOP and King of Prussia. They were fabulous. The security guard was standing there holding the electric automatic doors open for me to come in with the stroller. There was a nurse there. I think this is what they always do. Like, the nurse is there to triage and see what's going on.
Yeah.
A lady was there. I'll take your insurance card and get that started. And like, it was just a seamless,
well-oiled machine.
Yes. Yes.
And you're dealing with parents with children who are terrified, you know? Right. So you have to, they have to be.
And
good.
I feel like they could tell, like, I wasn't there for like a common cold or a splinter, you know? Yeah. Like, this was like, the look on my face was like, help my child. Like,
yeah.
Save my child. I'm driving up to King of Prussia not knowing what's going on, thinking that my child might be dying.
Yeah.
Honestly. I'm like, does she have cancer? Does she have a tumor? Does she, because now her face is drooping. Her eye is like drooping, like she had a stroke. Oh. She can't hold her head up. She can't hold her legs up. Like, you know, she stands up on her legs and she couldn't anymore. And my 18-year-old, he was 17 at the time, he's like, Mom, hold her head. She's like an infant again. She can't hold her head up. You got to be careful. Like, he's telling me to be careful.
Right.
My kids were scared. Like, we were all terrified. And I'm, like I said, I'm driving up and I'm thinking, Lord, please don't take my baby away from me.
Yeah.
Like, this child that I didn't know I needed in my life, please do not take her away from me. It was the longest 18 minutes, the scariest 18 minutes. But it gave me time to, like, pray and breathe and whatever is in store, let me be able to handle it.
Right.
And, but like I said, CHOP was just so fabulous. They get me into triage. They did blood sugar. They did, like, a weight. And at this point now, she's lost a full pound from her four-month checkup. And that is just, it's practically astronomical at her age and her weight. And we get back to an ER room, the doctor's standing at the door waiting for us. Like, they had listened to what I had to say out in the triage and, like, messaged back. So they knew what was going on already before they told me. They were there. Two nurses were there. The doctor was there. And the doctor said, tell me what's going on. I broke it down for her. And she's like, it's one of two things, but really it's only one thing, but we have to test for two. She could be septic. She could have, like, a UTI or an infection somewhere, and she's septic. But my gut's telling me that she has infant botulism. And I was like, what the heck is that? Like, they knew instantly.
Wow.
Instantly. And I was like, I said, she hasn't had any honey.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I know you get botulism.
Right.
And dented bulging cans.
Right.
Like, she absolutely hasn't had any of that. And I said, my son says he didn't, but he may be scared to tell me. He may have given her one Honey Nut Cheerio. And they're like, no, that's cooked honey. That's fine. Yeah. That's not going to do this. And they said, where do you live? And I said, Montgomery County. And they said, it's environmental. And I was like, what do you mean it's environmental? It's in our soil in Montgomery and Bucks County. Well, it can be in the soil anywhere, but it's very, very prevalent in Montgomery County and Bucks County.
Which is crazy.
Crazy for so many people to have never heard of it and live in Montgomery County since I was 13 years old.
Is it because of the construction, the amount of construction going on?
Yes. So, you know, botulism is a bacteria and it grows. And so, you know, the soil, you have the soil on top, but as years go on, that soil gets pushed down and down and down and new soil and stuff gets on top. And so, but that soil that's been pushed down can have bacterial spores that you don't really know about, and they're getting pushed down and pushed down. So as you're doing new construction and new landscaping and you're digging deep into the soil, you're bringing up this bacteria that's been sitting there dormant.
Right.
And now the spores are going into the air, and that's how they get it. The spores in the air, or that are sitting on like grass and stuff that has been, the spores are laying on.
Right.
And so we have no idea where she would have gotten it, because we were at football games all the time.
Yeah.
We take, my husband takes her for walks almost every night.
Yeah.
We're just out
of course.
All the time.
And it was September.
And right. It was September. It was summer. It was, we're out all the time. And so they tested her, and they have to do a stool sample. And now it's been 10 days since she's had a bowel movement, which is a long time.
Yep.
So they tested her, and they had to test the stool. So they had to give her like an enema,
yeah,
and she still didn't poop, but they were able to get a stool sample. And thankfully they don't wait to treat before the test get back, because the test takes 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a very specialized test apparently that involves mice and like, I don't even know. I read about it and it was very confusing, but it takes 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
To test to see if it's positive and then to see what type of botulism, because there's different types. And she had type B, which is environmental.
Okay.
But they don't wait to treat. If she has all those symptoms, California, the health department in California are the ones who regulate the treatment. It's called Baby Big.
Uh-huh.
They regulate the treatment for infant botulism. And I had to answer close to 100 questions.
Wow.
Before they would send the treatment, because it's so expensive. And they want to make sure that it's actually this.
Yeah.
Without making the baby suffer for 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
So
she wouldn't have made it.
So they would have had to put on a ventilator.
Oh,
because
gosh.
What botulism does is it attacks your large intestine, but a baby's large intestine can't protect against it. So then it starts attacking more, and it attacks their neurons, which basically temporarily paralyzes the baby and their muscles.
So why,
which is
she,
why
could
she couldn't nurse.
Couldn't nurse, couldn't swallow,
right.
couldn't hold her head up anymore.
Can't have a bowel movement, can't hold her head up.
Oh, gosh,
and then it eventually will most likely attack their diaphragm, which means they can't breathe on their own.
Oh.
A lot of babies have to be ventilated to prevent them from getting brain damage from low oxygen.
Yeah.
Because we were able to catch it on time and early enough, we're very blessed that she did not need to be ventilated. She did have a feeding tube because she, by the time they got the feeding tube in, because they wait until the treatment is in and starting to work, because the risk of aspiration, even from a feeding tube, is still too great. So she didn't get her feeding tube until Tuesday afternoon. We were there on Monday morning. She got the treatment Monday night around 9 p.m. It takes about an hour to run through her IV. And within 9 hours, we were noticing improvements.
Wow.
She was starting to smile again.
Aww.
And her strength was getting better. And as soon as they start seeing like one or two improvements, then they put the feeding tube in. and were able to give her breast milk through the feeding tube.
Ugh, so you're there pumping.
I'm there pumping.
And you got to stay with her.
I stayed with her the entire time. I left twice, which broke my heart both times, but my husband was there to go see my son play football because he actually had a game like right up there. And he's like, Laura,
go.
Take a moment and go. And then my girlfriends came up to visit, some of my college friends, and they took me out to dinner on Sunday.
Good. You deserve and that.
It was like, you know, 10 minutes away, and I still was like, I'm going to drive myself because if I want to go, I need to be able to go.
Shoveling your food down. Okay, it was nice seeing you. Bye.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys. Bye. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure your kids were besides themselves.
Yeah, they were able to come visit.
Oh, good.
All they wanted to. We didn't have any restrictions on the immediate family. Even when she was in the PICU, because she was in the PICU for 2.5 days. And she, like my 12-year-old, he was 12 at the time, he came in and he's like, Gabby, thank you for not dying. I would miss you. And I was like,
oh my God.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
They were scared too. They were terrified. And they're old enough to understand, like,
yes,
something is wrong with the baby.
Yeah.
You know?
That was so good. They were like, Mom, no, this isn't her. This is not her personality. Yeah. And she is a little sweetheart because I've seen her at many support groups. She's always smiley and happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, so heartbreaking. So how long did you stay in the hospital?
We were fortunate to only be there for a week. They told us originally when we got there that to expect 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
But as my oldest says, we don't raise no weaklings in our family. they have been doing exercises with her since she was born. My oldest, he runs track and he works on her athletic stance and her core muscles all the time. And so she was strong to begin with, which helped. But we were blessed to be able to come home after a week.
Yeah, that's great.
Without the feeding tube, she, you know, bounced back quickly. We're still having some latching issues and stuff. I've been back to the BRC. I was just there on Friday. So it was on Saturday, it was 2 months since we've been home from the hospital.
Yeah.
And we're still having some latching issues. She is starting to gain weight nicely, which is good. And she's still having some constipation issues.
Oh.
So we go to GI next week for that. So
did she finish all the antibiotics in that 1 week?
So it's not antibiotics. It's antitoxin that they give them, or an anti-venom, they call it. And it's a one dose. It goes over 1 hour.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it runs very quickly. It takes longer to get there because it came from North Carolina. Because they only have plants in North Carolina and California.
Oh, wow.
And the North Carolina plant opened about a year and a half ago, I think they said. So we would have had to wait for California to fly it over.
Oh, I think they should make more places.
Well, yes. But at least they have one on the East Coast now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow, so that must have been a terrifying ordeal for you. I'm glad she's all better. Still with a few feeding issues, but if she's gaining weight, yay.
Right. On Friday with Jen, she was 14 pounds, I think 9 ounces or 7 ounces, something like that, and I was like, yes,
lovely. I'm sure you're just like, scared to put her on the scale, waiting to see the outcome.
Yeah.
So that's good. What kind of latch issues is she doing? Falling off still, or?
Her tongue is not very strong still.
Oh.
So she's not like latching deep enough a lot of the times. So she'll latch for a few minutes, but then she's not really getting a lot of milk.
Yeah.
So she gets frustrated easily.
Oh.
So Jen has, and then she likes to push away, I think, because she's not getting, so she's like, maybe if I do this. So but Jen gave us some tips and tools, and
strengthen those muscles again.
Mm-hmm.
Do the guppy.
It's all about strengthening, and that's what it is. Like, she saw physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy in the hospital. Yeah. And it's just all about strengthening and relearning the things that she was doing. So she had just started rolling over and she couldn't roll over anymore. I mean, it was so sad. It was the week before the hospital was the worst week of my entire life. And that Monday in the hospital, once we knew what was going on and I knew that they could treat it and there's like a 96% success rate with treatment, I could breathe, but still hold my breath a little bit.
Yep.
And then I could just let things happen, you know, and CHOP was fabulous with my breastfeeding goals.
Good.
Fabulous. I was really worried. I mean, I'm driving up saying to myself, all right, if you have to use formula Lart, it's okay. Right. It's not going to kill her. It'll be okay. I'll just pump and we can start again. We'll go to the BRC and they'll get back to where we were when we get back. Like, it's okay, Lar. I had to like convince myself that it was okay. And one of the first questions is like, does she use formula? And I said, no, she's exclusively breastfed. She uses bottles of pumped breast milk. And they were like, okay. And I was like, I brought my pump. They're like, you can put it back in your car. Every place I went, they gave me a pump. They had one in the ER for me and a new kit of stuff to use. Bottle. Anytime I needed a bottle, they just brought in new bottles.
Yeah.
And then when I went up to the PICU, I was like, should I bring this with me? They're like, nope, we'll have one in the room for you. It was there and ready with another new kit for me.
I love it.
I went up to the pediatric unit, same thing. They had labels printed for me to put the time and date that I pumped, stickers on the bottles. They put them in the fridge. It's a locked fridge because they keep, you know, mom's stuff in there. They would tell me how much I had left. Do you have any in your freezer at home? Maybe you want to bring in a few just in case, because we're trying to increase her supply a little, like her intake a little bit.
Yeah.
Like they were just, they were on it.
And that's wonderful.
It was
so good to hear. How was your milk supply once you were in the hospital? Did it take a dip from a week of poor feeding? But some of it you were working and maintaining your supply. But...
Yeah. So yeah, when she went home, when she wasn't really nursing well, I would still try to pump then so that I could try to maintain my supply.
Good girl.
Yeah. But the hospital, I did notice a dip, like maybe the first day or so, stress, and I'm not an exclusive pumper. I'm used to having her empty me. And then I used to just pump twice a day at work. And then I'd be with her the rest of the time. So it took a little bit of a hit, but I set my timer and I pumped every 3.5 hours, like anywhere from 3 to 4 hours. Great. To make sure that we just kept that supply up. I got up in the middle of the night and pumped. When they woke up, because they were feeding her around the clock. And by like Thursday, I was like, look, when we go home, I'm not feeding her overnight. She slept through the night. So we need to get her back to that, please. Can we feed her more during the day? And they were like, we absolutely can. We can like do it a little bit more and just give her one feeding at night instead of every 3 hours at night.
Yeah.
They listened to me and they really did what I was in her best interest while listening to me with what was in our best interest when we got home.
Good.
So it was really,
that's
really
lovely
cool.
to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And then by Saturday, when she was starting to latch on again, we would weigh her, feed her, weigh her, and then figure out how much more, because they gave her like an amount every 3 hours to take throughout the day to get her to a certain amount a day. Right.
Yeah.
And whatever she took that feeding, then we would supplement with the rest in her tube from the milk in the fridge.
Great.
Until
what was the amount that they were looking for? Was it 3 or 4?
We were at like 24 ounces a day. They gave her a whole lot. I feel like it was more than what I feel like she takes during a day, but then they, by Saturday when she was exclusively nursing and we didn't have to do any push feeds in the NG tube, they told us as long as we get past 21 ounces, then we don't have to push anymore.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, we'll get there.
That's good. That's so good. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing about, you know, being in the hospital or if babies in the NICU and you want those babies out and you're like, I don't care, just, you know, get them to eat. But transitioning to the exclusive breastfeeding is so important to do it before you're discharged.
Right.
So you're confident in how that's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
great. Now, we were okay if we had to come home with the feeding tube. Like, we were prepared for that because it's in her, whatever was in her best interest.
Yeah.
But we were very blessed that we didn't need to come home with it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your amazing story. And I feel for you how scared you must have been. And, you know, parents can learn now some of the symptoms of this. Mm-hmm. And especially those local to us.
Yeah.
It's hanging around in Montgomery and Bucks County. So, yeah. Any other words of advice to parents in this situation?
So I say the biggest thing is, you have mom and parent instincts for a reason. If your parent instincts are like, oh, something's going on with my kid, let's keep an eye on them, listen to that. If your parent instincts are keeping you up at night, are consuming your every thought, pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, because so easily we could have just continued to say, make excuses. It's teething. It's this. It's that. It's something else. We've had 5 kids. We know what we're doing. Like,
yes,
it'll be fine. But this was keeping me up at night. This was consuming. I could barely work because I was at home. My mind was at home with her. What's going on? Why is she doing? So listen to that. Like, your instincts will tell you when it's time. Yeah. You know, like, again, if they're kind of like bugging you, all right, pay attention, keep an eye on them, think about it. But when they are screaming at you and telling you, something is wrong with your child. Something is wrong with your child. And listen to them. It's better to take them in and get them checked out and be like, no, you're okay, than to not.
Yes. And it's so hard going out the door to the ER for children or adults because you're like, you know, this is going to be an ordeal.
Right. I'm going to be there for hours. They're going to poke and prod. I mean, they had to do a lumbar puncture and they had to stick her 3 times.
Oh.
And that is hard to watch.
Yeah, you're beat.
And, you know, and especially listening to her with no cry because she couldn't hardly cry and had no tears because she was dehydrated. It's hard. It's hard to watch that, but it was time.
Yeah.
It was time, you know? And they had told me, like, if we had waited until the mid-morning, like originally planned, and then we had to wait the 8 hours. Well, it was like 5 hours to make the official diagnosis with California and answer all those questions, and then get the medicine there. It took like 8 hours.
Yeah.
She could have been on a ventilator by then.
Ugh.
You know? So when your instincts tell you to go, go.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know? Thank goodness.
Just listen to them.
You got there in time.
Yeah.
Well, and you have your village of support, your other children, your in-laws, everyone's going, something's wrong. And when everyone's saying that, you know, you're like, uh-oh, red flag. We all see it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
But not even just that. I had such a village supporting us while we were in the hospital trying to, you know, navigate that. My girls from the BRC, from support group and a group we have, were just phenomenal, checking in on us, making sure we had everything we needed. Several of them dropped off food for the kids because they were home. You know, the 2 older ones were babysitting the 2 little ones, getting them off to school and stuff. And they brought food for the kids. They brought a get well basket for Gabby and some stuff for me. And it's just my college friend flew up from Florida to come and visit with another 2 other friends, and just have that village, man. It is so important.
Yes.
And a village is anyone and anywhere. My work friends were helping me. Like, it just, a village is everyone and anyone, you know, that supports you. And you need that. I needed it. And I felt surrounded and I felt hands on us at all times. And it was, we were very blessed.
Well, I think that's where we should end, because that's lovely. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your story. For Laura Raji, I'm Colette Acker, and this is The Feeding Frenzy. The Feeding Frenzy has been brought to you by the Breastfeeding Resource Center.